a front-running victory for jockey James Graham.
And Stratton gets the win for James Graham.
James Graham.
This is In the Room with Sean Clancy.
I'm Sean Clancy, and I'm in the room with jockey James Graham. The 41-year-old Irish native captured his third Fairgrounds riding title last weekend and is poised for another strong Keeneland Spring Meet, a winner of 2,740 races for over $92 million in earnings. Graham has won at least 100 races every year since his first full season in 2004. Welcome to the show, James.
Thank you, Sean. Glad to be on.
You've been a mainstay at the Fairgrounds throughout your career. How special is it to win a third riding title at the New Orleans track?
Look, the Fairgrounds and me is like hand in hand, you know. I really like the Fairgrounds. I used to have a house down there, so it was home for a long time. But no, I really do like the Fairgrounds. I think the racetrack caters to my riding abilities and style, so...
Well, how does it cater to your style? Is it something you do there that works better than other places?
Well, I guess the stretch is pretty long at the Fairgrounds. It's probably one of the longest stretches in the country. And, you know, you don't always have to be on the best of horses, but if you have a horse that's got a little bit of extra stamina, you can keep plowing away and they'll keep going and I figured that out very quick. My education down there was unbelievable because we used to have training races and you educated yourself riding that way.
No, for sure. And that's got to help. And then when you go to a place like Keeneland, do you have to adjust your style for Keeneland or different tracks?
Yeah, like everywhere. Some tracks cater to speed horses, some tracks not so much. And you just have to try and find your balance in between, right?
Yeah, exactly. And what are your strengths at Keeneland? I mean, is something you do there that's...
Fast horses.
Yeah, exactly. The most important thing, right?
No, look, every day it changes day to day. Keeneland are pretty good. You don't generally have a bias, but you see it. You want to be up close, kind of. Maybe just sit off the speed a little bit and on the main track and on the grass. Look, you can ride a race from anywhere. And if you're on the best horse, 9 times out of 10, you're going to get there, you know?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, that's the most important thing is finding that business. Is that something that comes easy? I mean, what's it like? I know you work hard. I mean, you're out in the morning every day, and that makes probably a big difference.
Yeah, well, it's riding. The problem with Keeneland is you got a lot of guys coming out of Florida. You got a lot of guys coming out of New Orleans. You got a lot of guys coming down from New York. Everybody, it turns into a melting pot, and a lot of the guys will ride the guys that they've been playing with all winter, like with Jose and Irad Ortiz. You got Tyler Gaffleone coming out of the Fairgrounds. We have myself, Brian Hernandez, a couple of others, Miguel Mena, you know, and we'll ride for the people generally who's been riding for us. With Julian Leperu coming out of Florida, he'll ride some for the people he's been riding for, and he'll mix and match with the guys coming out of the Fairgrounds. And generally, they go with the best available, and you just have to hope you're on the top five of the trainers' want list, you know?
For sure, and that's something you've been for your career. I mean, you're right up there with everybody and have built a solid career at Fairgrounds and Keeneland. If I had to describe you, I'd say affable, upbeat, works hard, rides hard. You get your money's worth every ride. Is that how you would describe your riding a career?
Yeah, definitely. Funny thing is, when I first started riding, the guy I had that was hustling my book, Steve Elsie, had me at first, and kind of he just used me as a work rider for Bayerano when I started out. Which, you know, you're a bug boy, you do what you want, you do what you're told, you don't question anything, you know. But then I went to the Fairgrounds with a guy called Britt McGee, which was probably brilliant.
The great
brilliant
Britt.
Style. And he turned around to me, and because he used to own horses and stuff like that, you know, long before he ever took my book. So he was a trainer, and he says, look, he says, if you can get fifth, the owner does not have to pay to run. Like, if you run fifth, you're generally your race day medications and stuff is taken care of, right?
Right.
So it instilled in me, and he says, look, if you can get fifth, there's a good chance you might be able to get fourth. You know, and if you can get fourth, there's a good chance you'll be able to get third. And if you can get third, there's a good chance you're able to get second. And then he turned around and he says, you know, if you can get second, you can catch that winner. And he installed it every day for about 3 months. You know, it's important to ride for fifth. Now, don't get me wrong, it's also important to ride for the win or to run second. But his way of telling me, keep trying, always keep trying. And when you've seen me ride, Sean, I've ridden some horses that looked like they were going to be seventh or eighth, and I keep plugging away, and they hop up and they run third, get beat, and neck for second, and the winner draws away. I should be seventh, and I end up getting up to run third or fourth, you know, just because of my will and wanting to get them there, you know.
As an owner or trainer, I think one of the most important things when it comes to jockeys is consistency, knowing what you're going to get. And I think that's something that you have certainly been consistent through your career. I mean, you must pride yourself in that, to go out and do that job every day and be consistent in it.
Well, I've always wanted to be the best I can be, sure. And the best I can be, maybe it's not up there with Johnny Velasquez and any of them guys, but you give me the same amount of horse, we're gonna give them a run for their money, regardless of what happens. You know, I'm always gonna try, no matter if it's a $5,000 claimer or a Grade One race. You know, they're gonna get the same 110% I give every race.
Is that who you are as a person, or is that something? I mean, like the Great Brit. I mean, did he kind of teach you that, or I mean, how did you kind of develop that? Is that just who you are? Is that just a work ethic?
I just think
built into
me. It's me. I'm great with a laugh. I've always got a very positive attitude. It's, if you see me with a down, there's something wrong. You know, there's, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
and
sure.
I'm a lovable guy. I think I'm a lovable guy, but
no doubt.
I bounce away and I laugh and I joke, but I'm in this for the horse. You know, it's like if I wanted money, I'd be robbing banks. I wouldn't. This for me, this is not a money-making operation. Now, don't get me wrong, I've made a very healthy living from it, but it's something that I just love horses, Sean, and what I want to do is progress with horses. You know, I like Wesley Ward, if you were riding two or three of his two-year-olds every year, you'd be kind of set for Keeneland, you know what I mean? And probably the rest of the year, but I don't ride that much for Wesley, so I have to work on riding the not so quite well known and try and build up relationships from there. But it's that with everyone, not just me, but me. I'm 110% guy, 365, so it don't matter. And on a leap year, it's 366.
I love it. When I called you this morning, you were finishing a, you know, bacon, egg, and cheese breakfast. I guess maybe that's part of it too, right? You're upbeat and positive because you eat more than these other guys. You're almost one of those natural ones, right? That doesn't have to fight to weight. I mean, that's got to play into it, I guess, to some degree.
Oh yeah, like look, when you're able to eat, it's like anything. After every meal, you feel satisfied, right? For me, work and eat, that's satisfaction enough for me. I just keep going. I leave, but I work a lot, and I'm always busy. Like, if you come and watch me work, I get on more horses than most jocks in the country in the mornings, you know? But that's just who I am. I enjoy my work. I love my work.
Yeah, no question. No question. We see that. I mean, we see that in your work ethic and how you've kind of gotten those consistent clients and people that, you know, stay loyal to you. And I think that's part of it, working like that.
Well, I show up when they need me. I'm there, you know.
Take us back to the beginning. So, you know, you're in school and guidance counselor kind of asks you, you know, what are you going to do with your life? I mean, is that how it played out?
Yeah, just about. look, I was in a classroom. We were in a mixed school. There was girls and boys in the classroom, 14 years of age. You know, this is probably going to be the last year in school because you didn't want to be there. Like, education in Dublin, where I grew up, wasn't very important. It was more important to go and get a job, you know?
Right, sure.
And don't get me wrong, there's a lot of well-educated people where I come from. And I mean really educated, like college degrees and stuff like that. But like when you're no good in school, you don't apply. You find something that you're good at, or try something that you think you could be good at, and get lucky. And then if it clicks, you, who knows where the world ends, you know? But for me, I was not a very good student. I was probably a C average student with a lot of missed tests and NGs. I used to tell my mother was natural genius, but it was no great. So, but
I love it.
Look, I just wasn't one of them kids that wanted to be stuck into a book.
Right, for sure. But, and you applied to jockey school, went to jockey school there, and then how quickly were you thinking America? I mean, when you made the move here?
There was a lot of things that happened. I had a friend of mine hang himself. Oof. He was in the same position I was back in Ireland, working your rear end off and kind of riding one here and one there. Very depressive. And he hung himself. Very, very good friend of mine. And it kind of hit harder than it should have. And I just didn't want to spiral into the same position. It's not who I was. It was just what happened, kind of. It gave me the kick in the backside that I needed to kind of, you need to go forward. There's no more sitting in the middle and not going anywhere, you know? And at the time, my girlfriend, Lisa, I said, I just want to get away for a couple of months. I said, I can't do this. I need to get out. And so we came to America. And if it didn't work out here, we were going to go somewhere else. So, well, coming over here, we only came over for a holiday, vacation. And, you know, I start riding out for Jeff Thornbury, and Lisa start running the shed, and one thing led to another, and Jeff actually wanted me to run the shed, and I told him, look, I don't want to do this. I was running a barn of 40 horses back home. I didn't want to be an assistant anymore. I just wanted, you know, I wanted to be fresh. I wanted to gallop, make a few dollars, kind of just have a working vacation and see where it led to. There was no set plan of coming over here to be a jockey. You know, I thought my riding career was done. I was 22 years of age. Generally, them guys turn around and they say, once you hit your 20s, you're kind of, there's no real need to be an apprentice anymore. And that's how it is back home. Generally, when you start a little later in your career, you kind of get bypassed, if you know what I mean.
Sure, yeah.
But, yeah, we left. We came over here. Loved it. Came to Chicago for the Breeders' Cup. You know, it was kind of, you know, it was a little surreal type of thing. But it was cool. It was a great experience. And went to New Orleans, start riding some training races. Figured to myself, man, I could do this over here. You know what I mean?
And sure.
And look, you know how it is. Generally, you get repaid for hard work. And it didn't matter. I'd get on 6 or 7 with Jeff Thornbury in the morning and go hustle to get on extra, you know? Where a lot of people are turning around, they get on 3 or 4 and they want to take the morning off.
Right.
The rest of the morning off, but I just wanted to get on horses. And the funny thing is, when you want to do that, people will see that and say, hey, what about putting this guy on one? You know, are you available to get on a couple for me this morning? Yeah, no problem. What time? Hold on. I'm available at this time. We can work around that. Okay, perfect. You know, so, and I was small and I was light. And people start after about 2 or 3 months, they start turning around, hey, are you going to ride races? I hadn't even thought about it. And then all of a sudden somebody said it to me. I said, well, we'll see. Because I wasn't in any rush. You know, I was kind of just letting it float. Letting it tell me when it was time. So, and that's the way it went.
Wow. And that's life, I guess. I mean, your friend just couldn't, didn't make it. You made a decision to make it, I guess. I mean, that's really...
I made a decision to get out.
Yeah.
Ireland is probably one of the tough... I don't care what anyone says. Ireland's racing is second to none. You've seen it 2 weeks ago at the Cheltenham Festival. Second to none. Ireland's racing is by far and beyond the rest of Europe. I shouldn't say the rest of Europe, but between Ireland and England, the general passage is if you're a halfway decent apprentice, you go to England because there's more opportunity to ride races. You know? With Ireland being so small, and you starting off a little late, all these other apprentices, they've got a leg up on you. They've already been pony racing and stuff for years. They come in, they're well seasoned. They know how to ride a race. They can read a race. Where a guy coming from the city that's probably never sat in a saddle until he was 14, 15 years of age, these kids have been winning races left, right, and center for years.
Right, of course.
So you're behind the eight ball kind of thing, but when you come over and you get a chance that somebody gives you an opportunity, you jump and you take, don't look back, go forward.
When you look at your career, hard work, talent, or luck? I mean, how much percentage-wise, how do you look at your career?
For me, I think about 60% hard work, about 30 or 40% luck, and the rest is just God-given ability that you're at an opportunity that you were given, and like I said, you took the opportunity and ran with it, you know. And the guys who've been behind you, you know, they all have to figure into it too, like Britt McGeehy and Frank Bernice at the minute. So they've put you in spots to where you do the best you can, you end up coming out on top. And that's agents and trainers with trainers' relationships. You just, people who like you for the way you ride, people who use you because they want to get the best out of a horse, you know?
That's James Graham, winning titles, climbing the ladder, and left Ireland and changed your life. We're proud of you, and thanks for being on the show.
Thanks for having me, Sean.